Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. You know that performance counts, so put your pension in the hands of our experts. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, with Christmas just around the corner, many households are scrambling to get the last minute jobs fixed. Maybe there's a leaky roof, maybe there's a dodgy socket, maybe there's a few shelves to be put up, bit of overdue DIY, or maybe it's not DIY, maybe you need to get somebody else in to do it. But with the festive rush comes a rise in complaints about rogue traders, unfinished or unsafe work. The Competition and Consumer Protection Commission says it's already received more than 1,000 complaints this year from people who've been left out of pocket or with homes in worse condition than before they called the person in to get a fix on it. So how can you protect yourself and what jobs should you never try to tackle on your own? Well, we're joined by Conor Pope, Consumer Affairs Correspondent with the Irish Times, and Peter Finn, a.k.a. Pete the Builder, co-presenter from Home Rescue. Conor, to you first on this. We're hearing over not 1,000, 1,200 complaints came into the CCPC in just 6 months. So where are the red flags and what should consumers be looking out for?
Well, I suppose there's a lot of different red flags. And what I'd say about the CCPC figures, they're as depressing as they are unsurprising, because that's the reality of modern Ireland. But in terms of the red flags, I suppose the first big one is the first point of contact. And I'd always be very wary of people who cold call you, call to the door, offering their services, because you don't know very much about them, and that can be really problematic. Another obvious red flag that people tend to overlook, because as you say, they're kind of desperate to get the work done, is immediate availability. So if a builder or if a tradesperson is immediately available and they can do the work on your house tomorrow or the next day or next week, that should be a red flag, because the best builders, the best tradespeople are sought after, and availability is not that easy to get. Another key issue here is price. So if someone offers you a price that seems too good to be true, well, then it is too good to be true. That's the reality of it. So you're very rarely going to get a great deal on this kind of work. So if the price seems too low, well, then you should ask yourself serious questions. And then in terms of other simpler things, the absence of a physical address that a contractor might have, or no landline number, might also set the alarm bells ringing. But the thing here is that we tend to suspend our disbelief, because the reality is, and I would hold my hands up and say I'm guilty of this as much as the next person, we are so desperate to get the work done and the supply of contractors and tradespeople is so limited that if somebody is available and is willing to do my bathroom or my kitchen or my living room or whatever it might be, I'm kind of going to go, do you know what? I'm going to trust this person because it might mean I get the job done. But I can't stress enough the dangers in doing that. Can see people lose thousands, if not tens of thousands of euro.
What about the apps? That there's a lot of them around now where you can put up your job and you, you know, a number of tradesmen will bid for it, basically.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And those kinds of things might work. But the bottom line here is that it's up to us as consumers to do our research. Right. So we have to start doing the research thoroughly, vetting potential contractors, getting multiple written quotes, and then insisting on a detailed written contract in place before we agree to hand over any cash. And another thing that I think is very important, and people tend to overlook this, and I think this is probably an Irish trait. I know I cringe with embarrassment if I have to ask this question, but you need to say to any potential contractor, do you have any references? And can I see those references? Or what jobs have you done in my neighbourhood that I could go and look at? Because it's only by doing this kind of due diligence that you can establish the bona fides of a contractor and work out if they are actually good enough to do the job. And I know that it can be a really awkward question to say, can I see your references? I mean, how do I know you're as good as you say you are? But, you know, a good, accomplished professional builder or tradesperson won't mind at all if you ask to see their references, because they'll have the references. So it's not going to be a problem for them.
Peter, Peter Finn, Pete the Builder, have you ever been asked, do you get asked for references, and is that kind of standard practice?
Yeah, it has happened once or twice. Connor, if you want to see my references, I can tell you anything you like. Yeah, no, look, it's definitely a problem, because you're bringing someone into your home that you pretty much don't know, and you're trusting them to do something that you don't have a lot of experience at. I think Connor's bullet points at the start there of how to suss out someone who's good and what's the right word, who's somebody who's a proper tradesperson, right, and a proper legitimate company, all those simple things, you would be amazed how many people don't do that. And like, you know, Facebook and these type of things, they see a lovely picture on Facebook and then they, you know, they get a, they send a message and then before they know it, somebody who they don't know turns up and to do the job. But I think you'd want to be very naive really to do that type of thing, but people still do it.
Should you watch how long it takes somebody to put together a quote for you? Because some people will take one look at the house and go and give you a quote within the first few minutes. Other people will take a bit of time and they say, actually, leave it with me. I'll come back to you. I'll price the materials, etc. And then they'll come back to you with the quote. Should that be an indicator?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, again, when you're getting a job done, it depends on the size of the job. If it's just a small kind of a couple of hours of work, you know, you don't need a big detailed breakdown. It's in, get the job done and go. But if you're doing any level of work that is going to cost, you know, thousands of euros or a considerable amount of time, you do definitely need to have a very detailed breakdown of the cost, because you need to know as a homeowner what you're going to get done. But also, in the reverse, the tradesperson needs to know what you're expecting as well, because there are rogue clients out there as well. You know what I mean? There are people out there who get tradespeople to do work and then they go, oh, that's not what I wanted, or, you know, and they start changing the goalposts as well. So, you know, I think in every transaction, both people have to be respectful of each other and make sure that, you know, we live in the communication age. Let's make sure that there's a good communication, that you know what you're getting and you know how much it's going to cost you, and then the person is able to deliver it.
You see, when I was listening to Connor's warning there and advice that, you know, get it all written down, have a written contract, and that all sounds very reasonable if you're getting, you know, a substantial enough job done. But if it's a really small job, like a few shelves up or a couple of, you know, a tap fixed or whatever.
Yeah.
Are you really going to be going around with big written car? How many people would go down that road with you?
No.
Just to come in and do something that's going to take them a couple of hours, Mary?
No, you can't go into litigation to get a shelf put up, like, you know. But like, in fairness, I do think that, you know, you do need to have clear communication about what you're actually getting done. Is the person going to be working on a day rate, or are they be pricing a set amount of work to get done? Like, that's fairly simple stuff to be able to work out. Talking about contracts, you're talking about proper, you know, work that's going to be probably going to take a couple of months, and you're probably into, you know, anything over, I think, something like 20 to 30,000 should have a contract in place. They're very simple contracts out there, and it allows you administrate the agreement very simply, you know what I mean? And you've got something to go back to. But again, the amount of people that get work done, oh, I'm just getting an extension done out the back. There's no drawings, there's nothing that done. Get an interior designer in, or get a designer and architect to do the drawings. That's a really, really good investment and can save you a huge amount of money later. And it can also save a massive amount of arguments, because at least you've got something tangible that you can then go and refer to and go, well, look, it says on the drawings here that you were going to do this type of a wall or whatever. Because there's a huge amount of variation in the work that you do as well. Tiling, for example, you know, are you pricing for a mosaic tile, a marble tile, or a standard ceramic tile? Three different costs. And if it just says tiling and nothing else, then, you know, you're in a problem situation straight away, because it's not fair on the tradesperson to have to do work at a lower price if it's a different product. So, you know, communication is key in all of these situations.
All right. What about deposits, Connor?
Yeah, like, deposits are fair enough. And by the way, I must stress that if you're getting a guy in to fix the tap, I don't think you need a written contract for that. I think you'd be grand. Just he'll do the job in 20 minutes and he'll be gone, and that'll be the end of it. Or indeed, she'll do the job. No, but in terms of deposits, that's something that I can entirely understand why a contractor might say, listen, I need a 10% or a 20% deposit because I'm doing a fairly big job and I want to know that you're financially committed to it and all the rest. But I have heard of builders and contractors who are looking for deposits of 50% or even more than 50%. And I think that's hugely problematic, because effectively then what the contractor or what the tradesperson is saying is they want you to fund every element of the job up front. And I think a good business, a good contractor, would have a sufficient credit line with the wholesale merchants to be able to get at least some of those materials on tick, and then you pay them when the job is done. I think it's really important, and the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission say this, it's really important that you don't pay too much money up front, because if you pay too much money up front, you disincentivize some of the people who are going to do the work from doing the work. And I have to stress, by the way, and this is kind of important, that a huge majority of the builders, contractors, tradespeople out there are really decent, hardworking people, and they do a really good job. It's the ones that don't do that that tarnish the reputation of all the others. So it's not like I'm besmirching the entire industry by saying that you have to be on your guard or you have to be cautious about paying too much money up front. But it does... we will all be better if we are just a little bit more clued in about what we're doing. And Pete is 100% correct when he says that it doesn't matter if it's a €50 job fixing your leaky tap or a €50,000 job building an extension, transparency and communication is always the key. So you know what you're expecting from the tradesperson and the tradesperson knows what you're expecting. And but only by keeping those channels of communication open can we make sure the process is seamless. But that can be really difficult if it's somebody like me who's an awful eejit when it comes to DIY and putting up shells. And my wife just despairs when I get the drill out. So bearing that in mind, when builders and contractors start talking to me, my eyes glaze over and I'm going, yeah, that's okay, yeah. I have no idea what they're saying the vast majority of the time. I just trust that they'll do it right.
Last word to you, Pete. The time pressure point Connor made at the top, is anything so urgent that it needs to be done between now and Christmas?
If your roof is leaking, yes. If there's major problems, you know, in your heating system or something like that, you know, absolutely yes. But I do advise people not to try and force themselves into having, you know, the house finished or a big load of work done before Christmas. It's too late to start to try and get contractors on board now. And you're just putting yourself under ridiculous pressure to try and achieve something just so the Christmas tree can be up for that day. Connor's dead right about deposits. There are some legitimate deposits that are genuinely
how
to be
much,
asked for.
How much would you say you'd ask for?
Well, again, it depends on the product. So if it's windows, for example, the deposit does be about 50%. And again, that's from me as a main contractor. I would have to pay that up front as well. Kitchens and elements that have got a huge amount of material cost, there is a deposit up front. But if a builder is coming to do some work and he starts asking for a 50% deposit, huge red flag.
Okay. Connor Pope, Consumer Affairs Correspondent with the Irish Times, and Peter Finn, Pete the Builder, thanks very much for joining us on that.